My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Well, it's a big one. There's no doubt about it. Coming up Friday or Saturday, 4:30 in Eugene. And now joining us is Noah Eagle, the voice of NBC Sports Big Ten Saturday night. Noah will call Ohio State and Oregon alongside Todd Blackledge this Saturday, 4:30 on NBC and Peacock. Noah, thanks for taking a few minutes for us. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Doing better after you really emphasized Peacock on the back end of that show. I'm feeling real good now. Company man over here.
I love it. I know you've been to Oregon. Obviously, your coverage of the NBA has brought you up into Portland. Have you ever been to Eugene, though, before?
Great question. The answer is no. So this is the first time into Eugene, and definitely a heck of a time to do it. But I've heard plenty about it from former Ducks, from former Duck head coaches, from many others, including Todd Blackledge, who have told me it might be the loudest environment in college football. So for a game like this, I'm expecting the noise to hit a different level.
What does that do for you as a broadcaster? Like when you have the energy in the building and you can kind of feel that and feed off of it.
Yeah, you know, I don't know how much we all really appreciated it until COVID. And I definitely always knew that it was important, and you can, to your point, feed off of an energy that a crowd provides. But when COVID hit and there were no fans and I was doing games either remote or in an empty arena or stadium, and it was completely BYOE, bring your own energy, it just didn't feel the same. You just couldn't quite gauge when you needed to crank it at that same level. Now you can react based on how the crowd reacts, and you can understand what most of the fans at home are probably thinking or feeling, similar to how the people that are actually live and watching the event are feeling or thinking. So I think it's a huge advantage. But when you've got an environment that's massive like this one is supposed to be, or when I was doing the Olympics, there were a couple of those where it was just insane noise. I think you've got to also understand you can't go too big too early at the same time. So you can't overly match right away because you still need to save something for the fourth quarter and the biggest moments of the game. So it's a balancing act, but it definitely helps.
No, I know the preparation for every game is going to be extensive, particularly on football, the difference between, you know, football and basketball. But when you look at a game of this magnitude, when you've got, you know, two top five teams in the country, and you've got a likelihood that these teams coming out of this are going to be vying for high-level college football playoff spots, does the preparation change for you at all?
No, not really. I think the biggest key is actually trying to remind yourself not to do too much. You already over-prepare for every game that you do, and I say that an average of percentage of content prepared that actually gets utilized in the broadcast is probably 30. You know, I'm probably using about 30% on an average game. It's 50 if the game is terrible and about 15 if the game's really good. So the hope is that I'm only using 15% of the info that I have. But if I'm already doing that, then to prepare even more would be probably not even smart, because then you're just overloading yourself and then you want to try to squeeze things in when they don't fit. I think the best thing that we've really adopted as a team, and our broadcast team has done a great job of this, and last week I thought we really did with the Michigan-Washington game, is you let the game come to you and don't force anything and don't feel the need to say something just to say it. Only say something if it really is going to make a difference in a broadcast. So that's what we're going to do here. We're going to make sure that we're overprepared per usual, but I don't think it's going to stray away from any other week.
When does that start? I mean, here we are on Tuesday. You got to put the game that you did on Saturday in the rearview mirror. When does that really start in hunkering down? And what does that process look like for you as you are preparing over the course of a week? Because you got till Saturday. You've got to go through. Is it stats? Is it backstories? Where does it start and how does that progress over a week?
Yeah, you know, I think that everybody does it differently. And I just know I get back every Sunday from my game. Usually I have to leave early Sunday morning. Last week I got a red eye, so it was sleep through, get here, try to get a couple more hours. And every Sunday I said to myself, you know, I'm going to be really efficient today. I'm going to sit down while I'm watching NFL, and I'm going to do my expense report, and then I'm going to start reading articles and watching last week's games of our teams. And by the time I go to sleep, I'm going to have a really good base heading into the week. And then I do none of that, guys. I do absolutely zero. I sit on my couch and I just wallow away and go, God, it'd be really nice if I was efficient right now instead of just scrolling Twitter constantly and endlessly and looking at my failed fantasy team. So instead, I'd say Monday is when I jumpstart things. Monday morning, I wake up, I take care of whatever little things need to be taken care of, whether it's emails or setting up meeting times or anything like that. And then it's kind of right to work. So it's reading articles, getting background on the teams, watching back their previous games. And by the end of Monday, the hope is that I've got a lot of the background done. So bio information on players and things of that nature and the background of the team season so far. And then come Tuesday, it's a lot more now detailed. Can we start getting stats on there? Can we start getting deeper background on there? Can we read more articles, press conference stuff? What are the coaches saying? What are the players saying? What are the media saying? What are the fans saying? You know, I actually like to listen a lot of times to podcasts of the local teams because they have the biggest pulse, and a lot of them are fans. They're fans that are talking about the team. So you start to get a flavor of what the fans are saying and feeling about their respective teams. And then Wednesday, we usually meet with a road team. So tomorrow, in all likelihood, we'll meet with Ohio State over Zoom. Thursday, I travel in, so I'm typing up a lot of those notes on the plane, finishing up a lot of the notes that I had already started. Friday, we meet with the home teams, players and coaches, and then Saturday, we do the game and go from there. So it's just a lot of compilation over the course of the week, and by the time you're there on Saturday, it hopefully is all organized, highlighted, color-coded, and you just let it rip.
No, I'm just glad he's one of us. Just sitting around on a Sunday, scrolling Twitter, watching NFL, getting lost in it. He's one of us.
Yeah, 7 hours.
Yeah, absolutely. Locked in. You are coming into the college football world now where it's a professional world. It's no longer the facade of what it was for so long. And over the last couple weeks, we've talked about kind of how some of the voices of college football have transitioned, or just the voices of football have kind of transitioned out of the game. And you are kind of uniquely positioned at a point where you're so early in your career, you have this opportunity to kind of be the voice of the new world of college football, whether that's one of these professional, you know, private equity firms that comes in and takes over things. Do you kind of look at that and where you are and the unique landscape of where things are now and just kind of allow yourself to think about what could be?
Yeah, to a certain degree. You know, I try not to go too far into the future and try to definitely live in whatever our present matchup and present season is, but it's impossible to ignore kind of how things have developed over the last couple of years. And, you know, I work with Todd Blackledge, and the one thing he told me is college football and college athletics have changed more in the last 5 years than in the previous 25 that he had worked in them combined. And he's right. I mean, I think we all see it. It's directly in front of our face. So to your point, I think I'm uniquely positioned in the sense that while I grew up and I watched it and consumed it, I wasn't living in the space to the level that I am now. And so at this point, I'm living in this space as all of this is happening, and I'm thoroughly enjoying it because I get to hear perspectives of everybody. I get to hear the perspectives of coaches who have been coaching for quite literally 30-plus years, like a Kirk Ferentz, who has been through now all of it. And then you get to hear perspectives of somebody like Dan Lanning, who's in year three as a head coach, who's got this youthful energy to him, and it's probably different. And so I just feel like I get to blend and try to bridge those gaps, which is a lot of fun and certainly a challenge as well. But excited to see where it all goes, because I think more than anything, it's creating intriguing matchups like this weekend. And this weekend is supposed to be, I would say, the best one we have this season. And so we're just looking forward to trying to do justice by that and make sure we do our due diligence by doing the work and having fun once we get there. But yeah, excited to see how this all develops. And the new Big Ten has been beneficial to us so far this season. So we hope that continues.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
You know, as we take a look at this matchup, I think Ohio, when you think of Ohio State and you think of Oregon, I think offense really comes to most fans' minds immediately. The defenses, though, have really shined for both of these programs through the first five games of the season. What have you kind of seen in your initial dig of both of these teams that's standing out to you on either side of the ball?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely correct. I think that with all four of these West Coast teams joining the Big Ten, there's this level of, I don't want to say arrogance, but almost this level of like, hey, these guys don't play defense. They're just here to score points. And I actually think that that's completely false. I think all four programs did an excellent job of understanding that they're going to need to build out their defense as much as their offense as they make the move to the Big Ten, which is what they've done. I mean, Oregon hires Dan Lanning. It feels like a very clear move of, they've had all these offensive minds for so long and have had success with them. But you bring in a defensive guy who led the best defense in the country and led them to a national championship. And while their offenses have still been dynamite, their defense now this year in particular have caught up to a certain degree. And so they are ready to play Big Ten football. We saw it with Washington last week. You know, Jed Fish has told the team, we need to be willing to win games in the 20s. It's not the Washington and Pac-12 of old. USC went out and poached UCLA's defensive coordinator. They're much improved on that side of the ball. UCLA has now built out their defense over the last 3 years so that they can be competitive in this new league. And I think Oregon's right at the top of that list. I think they've got the personnel to do it and the talent. We've seen it. And especially in the last 3 weeks, it just feels like their defense and realistically their entire team is playing at their highest level of the season. You know, last week they gave up 10 points. They were all basically garbage time points. UCLA, they gave up 13 points to a team that, while they're not quite what they were the last couple of years, they still have a lot of talent offensively, and they still have a lot of the pieces that were part of the best rushing offense or one of them the last 2 years in college football. You know, Boise State, I know a lot of people looked at that game and they're like, oh my goodness, how do you barely escape with a Boise State could make the college football playoff this year and they might have the Heisman Trophy winner in their backfield and you win that game. So I just think that what they have is they've learned lessons from those two early games and they've played really well their last three. But this is going to be a different level of test, guys. I mean, Ohio State comes in with the best 1-2 punch at running back in the country and the best 1-2 punch at receiver in the country. And all four of those guys are NFL-level talents, not just in the sense they'll make the league, but they'll be impact players and maybe even stars. And Jeremiah Smith might be the best true freshman in the country, which is saying a lot from what we've seen out of Ryan Williams at Alabama at 17 years old. They're both prodigies at wide receiver. But it's in Eugene. It's a defense that's playing well. They're confident coming in. And I think they know this is their opportunity to say, hey, we're here. We're in the Big Ten, and you can't mess with us.
Noah Eagle, he'll be on the call Saturday night, 4:30 on NBC and Peacock. Thank you for the time, man, and we'll look forward to seeing you on Saturday, and hopefully Autzen puts on a show for you.
Absolutely. I can say there will be commercials, so it won't quite be red zone level, but we will be having some fun out there. So if you're not going to be at the game, hopefully you can join us 4:30. On NBC.
All right. Noah Eagle. He's one of us. He watches football all day Sunday and avoids every single obligation that he has
while doomed
to the real world. That's right. As we all do. as we all do on Sunday, whether it's licking your wounds from Saturday, celebrating Saturday, having your team go up and down. And as he said, you know, his multiple fantasy teams may go either way on him. That was interesting stuff.
The fact that he's a consummate pro before he's even 30 years old bothers me.
Yeah, he has his stuff together, man.
He sounds like he's been doing it for 40 years already. He's going to have a hell of a career, man.
Yeah. I mean, his life has been
like leading up to this.
Yeah. His grandfather was an actor. His dad is a legendary play-by-play voice. He's got the chops, man, and he's really damn good at what
he does. It's always cool when it comes together. You know what I mean?
It does.
When you're like, you kind of see things line up for somebody, and you're like, it should, and then sometimes it doesn't. But when it does, it's cool.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just like, oh, man, yeah. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, there it is. He's better at life than us right now. Dang, man. All right, great stuff. A little wet the beak there of Ohio State and Oregon. Tomorrow, I think you're going to get a visit at this time from Danny Cannell. College football. We'll talk with Danny Cannell, all things college football.
We'll need to hash something out with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very important.
It is.
Yeah. For those that don't know, there's a lot of confusion that happens on social media, especially.
On a daily basis.
Danny Cannell hosts a show called Danny and Dusty.
That was started 3 months after ours.
Yeah. This...
Like, the cosmic things that had to happen.
Yeah.
For two people named Danny and Dusty to come together to start a radio show.
That's right.
At almost the same point in time is almost unfathomable.
Yeah. Ours was first, though, because we do have at Danny and Dusty, the Twitter handle.
Indeed.
Which leads to a lot of the confusion.
Yeah. A lot of very angry SEC people who want to go after Danny Cannell.
That's right.
I'm the wrong Danny.
But, I mean, they can be mad at you.
Oh, it's funny.
They can be mad at you.
I do occasionally engage back.
It's fine, sir. This is a Wendy's. This is the wrong Danny and Dusty.
I have enough people mad at me.
It should be an exciting one Saturday, 4:30 on NBC and right here on The Fan if you're going to be listening on radio. That was Noah Eagle, play-by-play broadcaster for NBC Big Ten Saturday Night.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com